Good morning. It's good to be with you all. Brian, you did a great job with those words. So, Dr. Day, good job. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love for us and your mercy on us, Lord. Thank you for every blessing that you give us. Thank you for being the creator, the sustainer of everything, the entire universe. All things, and yet you care about us enough to hear us when we pray, when we ask for things. So we ask you to be with those who can't be here today, Lord, and we lift up Cecil to you and the Millers to you, Father, and the Lane's son-in-law, and so many more. There's so many more that are on our hearts, and you know them. You know what's wrong with all of them, Father, so we thank you for hearing us. We ask you to heal. We ask you to help us to be the godly men and women that you want us to be, Lord. We just ask you to be with us. Be with us during our time. Be with Pastor Jack as he and Melissa have a chance to get away. And we thank you for that to happen. And we just ask you to give them time to be with each other and take a deep breath. We thank you for everything that you're doing here at Waterdam Church. And we are so blessed, so blessed. And just be with our time today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, couple things. Number one, I can't stand this thing. I feel like I'm tied down to it whenever I have it. But I think I'm going to use it for a little bit today. As a board, we meet once a month, and during that time when we're together, we pray for everything. We pray for people here at the church. We pray for everything that's going on, and we're just in awe of what God's doing here right now. It's amazing, and I just wanted to touch on a few things. Wait a minute. There we go. So when I was preparing for this week, all I could do is take a deep breath with everything that's been going on. And it started with Scotty in the blue shirts. And the kids up here, they're singing. They're in full engagement. Like, they were smiling and singing. And it was a beautiful day of praise. And God bless Scott. Is he in here? Okay, good. All right, good. God bless you. I love doing ministry with you. So God bless you. Amen. And then Pastor Jack starts with the Easter season series, and he goes into the dry bones, you know, Ezekiel 37, who could raise these bones? Only God can do that. Only the Lord saves. So it was a beautiful message on kicking off the Easter season. It was awesome. And then he did the Lord's Supper. And he walked us through what the Lord's Supper is. It's that time of remembrance of what Christ did on the cross, what he did for us, and then where we are with that, how we are to reflect on where we are as Christians and what he did for us. And it was beautiful. He did a great job. And then Palm Sunday, Hosanna in the highest, right? Our Lord and Savior coming into Jerusalem, kicking off the Passion Week, that chosen lamb at that specific time. Beautiful. We had Good Friday service in between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. That Good Friday service was amazing. It was beautiful. And there was over 100 people in here to be there together as a church family. It was awesome. Easter, I mean, Resurrection Day, the day of the empty tomb is the whole reason why we're here today. It was beautiful. There were so many people here in this room, downstairs, and we're all doing the same thing. We're raising our voices, and we're lifting it up to our Lord and Savior. Like, that's what Sunday's supposed to be about, and it was awesome. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So what a blessing it was to have the baptisms that were planned, to hear people's testimonies, to hear where they were before Christ, what Christ has done to them, how Christ is working through them now, to see people make a profession of faith, proclamation of faith, spur of the moment, the Spirit moving through them. It was awesome. It was a great season. That whole time, starting with you, Scott, with what you did was great, leading up to, and what do we have now? I mean, this is what I get. We have all this great stuff, and here I am. Bowsy, wowsy, woo-woo. Okay. You know, thank you. And I hope you don't see me like this. I really hope you don't. I think the way you see me is like this. So, I am the tattoo to Jack's Mr. Rourke. I am the mini-me to Dr. Evil. So, So, great time. I love you guys. It's so cool to see what God is doing through our church. And I'm blessed to be here. I want to get a little congregational participation right now. Dates are important. History is important. I went to school. I was a history major. I love history. Okay, so I want you guys just to yell. I'm going to name a year, possibly a full date. I want you to tell me what happened on that date, if you know. Okay, we're going to go way back, B.C., 776 B.C. First Olympics happened in 776 B.C., First Olympics. Also B.C., 214 B.C., something huge was being built at the time. It was completed. Great Wall of China, okay? 1066. What's that? 1066. My people, the Normans. Normandy invasion of England. Okay. 1492. Thank you. Thank you. These are getting a little easier. Okay. April 19th, 1775. No, but close. The shot heard around the world. Okay, the beginning of the American Revolution. Here's an easy one for you. December 7th, 1941. Pearl Harbor. Okay. October 13th, 1903. Not an assassination. That was the Game 5 of the first World Series against the Boston Americans. They beat the Pittsburgh Pirates, who then went on 100 years later plus to lose 21-0 to the Cubs of Chicago. There you go. All right. Now, this is a multiple choice. Okay. November 15th, 1971. You got it. My birthday. Important date. Mark that down. I also would have taken the first year that Scott became a youth pastor, okay? Ooh. Let it sink in. All right. June 5th, 2022. It's a feast of Shavuot, the feast of weeks. You're not following me, okay? So, not that we should follow the Jewish or Hebrew calendar, but days mean things. And if we understand the Bible and we understand dates within the Bible, we'll kind of understand why certain things happen, and Bible accounts will make more sense to us. Leviticus 23. People go to Leviticus and are like, why do I have to read Leviticus? This is painful. Leviticus 23 is the hinge between Jesus in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. The ladies are going through the feasts on Sunday evening, and I would assume that they would agree that Leviticus 23 is understanding how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. And the awesome thing about the Old Testament, it prepares us for the New Testament. And if you get stuck, say you get stuck reading something that you don't quite understand in the Old Testament, you could probably find it in the New Testament and vice versa. So when you look from one side to the other and you ask for the Holy Spirit to help guide you through that, you'll see that a lot of the things start to make sense to you. You get an understanding. So if you're visiting, welcome. Typically, we'll go through a book series. Pastor Jack wrapped up James before Easter. I think he's going to preach on heaven next week, and then he's going to start another book series. And normally we just pick a couple scriptures and we go through that. I'm going to go through the entire chapter of Acts 2. Not line by line, but we're going to go through that. And here's my prayer for this, is that we see that dates mean something, like holidays, whatever you want to call it. It's a special day happened in Acts 2 on a special day. And we tend to think, we think like the creation. We look at creation. We know that God created everything. And we hold that in high regard. And we pray on it. And we look at days like Christmas, you know, we look at it with an anticipation. We look at that, and that date means something to us. Like, we're like, December 25th, we know that that's the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And it's important. It's important to celebrate. Obviously, the empty tomb, you know, we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Day, and we do that because it's important. But what about the Holy Spirit? And we serve a triune God. We believe in a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But and we acknowledge certain things, and we celebrate certain things, but I don't know if we necessarily celebrate the Holy Spirit like he's God. Because he is God, and he deserves to be celebrated. Because when God comes into our lives, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he's living inside us, and he's moving in us. He's binding himself to us. He's binding himself to sinners like you and like me. So I tell you all that to tell you this. Please turn with me to Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Okay. Now, I promised that I wouldn't take this line by line, and I'm not, but I am going to take some things line by line to explain a few things. Pentecost. To understand what happened here, why this is happening, you need to understand Pentecost. Pentecost is a fancy word for 50 days, basically. It means 50 days. And it's 50 days from Passover. Okay. So this is the day of Pentecost is a celebration. It's a day, it's a joyous day, and it would have been the feast. And that's what's going to occur this year on June 5th of 2022. And what that was, it was a giant festival where, and Jack was talking last week about how at Passover, there would have been about 2.7 million people in Jerusalem at that time. So we know that God does everything big. Like, God wanted everybody in Jerusalem at one time to see the crucifixion of his son and the resurrection of his son. And he did the same thing at Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. And what it was a gathering about, it wasn't quite as big as Passover would have been. So there would have been about 2 million people in Jerusalem. And what they would have been celebrating was two things. One, the feast of the harvest. So what God had provided for them as a harvest. And they would have been celebrating the day that Moses brought the law down from Mount Sinai. Okay, so keep that in mind. The celebration of harvest and celebration of the giving of the law. Okay? So, Pentecost during this account in Scripture would have been roughly 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. So you have the believers who were in Jerusalem at the time, and earlier in Acts chapter 1, they talk, there's about 120 of them. They were all gathered in an upper room. That upper room could have been a house. Some people think it might have been at the temple itself, but it was in Jerusalem. There was 120 of them together, and they were waiting for something. Jesus told them that the Father will send you the Spirit of God, the Helper. So they're all together, and they're there because God wanted them there, because something big was going to happen. So verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Has anybody here ever experienced a tornado? Okay, it changes your life, right? I've never experienced it, but what I hear is people say the same thing. It's extremely quiet, almost peaceful. And then it sounds like a freight train plows through an area, and then it's quiet again. But in that moment of the freight train, it's chaos. It's loud. And this is what would have happened. No chaos, because nothing's chaotic with God. But it would have been like a freight train. Like, it was something so loud, and everybody heard it, and you'll see why. Okay. So it's something that they would never forget. The day that they received the Holy Spirit was a day that they would never forget. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. So this word tongues in Greek is glossa. Glossa. Okay. That means tongue. That's all it means. Tongue. Muscle in your mouth. The reference here is an audible language. Okay, it's not. This is not referring to a secret prayer language. It's referring to an audible language, like English, like Spanish, like French, easily understood languages. Okay, so it wasn't something private. It was, you know, everybody would have understood it. Okay. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. They were devout. What does that mean? They understood the Bible, okay? These people took time to leave whatever was going on in their lives from all over the known world at the time to go to Jerusalem. They took time to go spend time with God, okay? They were devout, much like we're devout. We come to church on Sunday. We go to Bible studies. We open the Word of God. We fellowship with each other. Same thing. That's what devout means. And these people would have, some of them, they traveled a day. Some of them traveled a week. Some of them traveled a month to be there because it was a big festival. It was a big deal that this was going on. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Okay. So again, the people that were there, the believers at the time, 120 Galileans, okay, were speaking in languages, audible languages, that everybody throughout that area would have understood. And remember how Brian was like, I'm afraid I'm going to butcher these names. It was all those names, all those different languages that they were understanding. So this is what it would be like, okay? If everybody in this section, you guys are going to speak French. You guys are going to speak German. You guys are going to speak Spanish. And I'm just speaking English. Everybody in this room would understand exactly what I'm saying, and you would hear it in your own language. That's what was going on here, okay? And that sound, so it says in 6, in this sound, the multitude came together. There's that freight train. that whirlwind, that tornado that plowed through everything, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came upon these people, everybody heard it. It wasn't something silent. It wasn't a small thing. It was a big deal. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans?" Like, hey, aren't these Galileans? Now, why is that a big deal? I'll tell you why. Galileans had a very distinctive dialect to their dialect. They spoke in Northern Aramaic dialect, okay? So, when Peter, do you remember this? When Jesus got arrested, Peter followed Jesus in the courtyard. And every time Peter would open his mouth, somebody would be like, "He's a Galilean. He's with Jesus. He was with the guy that they arrested." The reason was because Peter had a very distinctive dialect, so he would have stuck out like a sore thumb. So I need to tell you this story. When I went to college, I went to University of Dayton, and I think I was the poorest kid at UD. Like, I was so poor, I can only afford the P and the O. So anyways, so I'm like the poorest kid there. I'm like the least educated kid there. And I was at the weight room. And back then, you didn't have your headphones on. Like, everybody made eye contact with each other. You talked to each other all the time. There was a radio on, a fan. You didn't have air conditioning. And you were loud. The whole time, you were loud. So we're talking back and forth, and I'm working out. And this guy who was, I found out was in law school. He was older than me. He came up behind me. And he says, "Hey, what part of Pittsburgh are you from?" I said, "I'm from the South Hills." He said, "Yeah, my girlfriend's from the North Hills." I said, "Oh, okay." I didn't think anything of it. And I start working out. And I was like, "Huh, that's weird." I go, "Hey, how did you know I was from Pittsburgh?" He goes, "You talk like garbage." I was like, "Huh, okay." So it was at that point where I realized that my dialect, my accent, kind of gave me away, and I tried to watch it. It's still there. But it's the same thing with Peter in the Galileans. They had a very distinct, specific dialect that they used, and it, people would have known it. And when they're speaking their tongue, their native tongue, everybody understood it in their own native tongue, okay? And when you read, I'm not going to go through it because I'm not going to try to pronounce all of them, but when you read through verses 9, 10, and 11, you'll see roughly 15 different languages or dialects were represented at that time. So what you have is the Holy Spirit miraculously translating the language, the dialect of the Galilean into an audible form so that the hearer could hear it. Okay, now, we're not supposed to inject ourselves into the text. Like, this text, we are to glean from it. We are to be able to apply the text in our life, but we're not supposed to inject ourselves, except in this point. I'm going to let you do that. So if you were to do this in verse 7, you could say, "And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Yinzers? And how is it that we each hear us, each of us hear in our own language?" So that would be the one and only time that you can do that. Okay. So we're going to jump down verses 12 and 13. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and said, "They are filled with new wine." Okay, so what does that mean? Okay. I don't 100% know. When I read this and I try to understand that, some people heard it. Some people were open to the Spirit for whatever reason. And some people didn't hear it. They weren't open to the Spirit. They might have just heard a Galilean dialect and didn't understand it. They may have thought, because they thought that they were drinking, it might have sounded slurred to them. I don't know. But for whatever reason, There were people who received the Spirit and there were people that wouldn't. I thought that was interesting because I think it sets up Peter perfectly for what he is going to say to them. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you don't understand them? You know, it could be because there's a language barrier or there could be a generation gap. This past 2 years, we're like really good at Zoom calls. And there's times when you don't understand what people are saying. And what do? When you don't understand, when somebody doesn't understand you, what you do two things. Slow down when you talk, and then you get louder as you talk. So Jen's always like, listen, they can hear you. You don't have to yell, just slow it down. So when we're on Zoom calls, and I think my mom can't hear anything, she can. She's like, the whole neighborhood can hear you now, Dan. So what Peter does when he retorts to this, when he's explaining, he does two things. Okay, one, he nips it in the bud. When they tell him, you know, these people were drunk, he says, no, we're not drunk. He says, because it's only the third hour. It's only 9 a.m. Of course we're not drunk. Like, come on, it's 9 a.m. So he slams that. But the thing about this is, yeah, he's saying it's only 9 a.m. and we can giggle because I think that's funny too. But the thing that he's doing is he's saying, we're sober-minded. We are sober-minded people right now. This is a real thing that's going on. This date is important. This is an important thing that's going on. And then he goes straight into defending it with the prophets. He starts talking about the prophets because he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when you're empowered with the Holy Spirit, you gain power by that. You gain confidence by that. And Peter does this throughout Acts. Stephen does the same thing. Paul does the same thing. They're prepared, but the Holy Spirit is what's leading them, just like us. That same Holy Spirit that was in Peter right now, the Spirit of God, is the same Spirit that's in you and I right now. When we are saved by the blood of Christ, that Holy Spirit, when we're born again, is the same Spirit that was in Peter. I think that's cool. Because we're all together. It's the binding, brothers and sisters. And what Peter does is he starts telling them, let me tell you what's going on here. And he reverts back to Joel. He goes to the prophets because they would have understood that. They would have been like, okay, we understand the prophets. And he quotes Joel. He says, in the last days it shall be, God declares. So this is, God declares this in the last days. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Okay. A lot of times when we read things like that, and it starts off with, in the last days, we have this tendency, because it's in English, and we read things, and we read things. Wow, I sound like my mom. And we read things, we go A, B, C, D, E. We want everything to be in a nice order. And that's not the way prophecy, that's not the way the Bible was written. In these last days, is what he's referring to is the current time right now for him. These last days that he's talking about is the last days of the old covenant, the last days of the sacrificial system, like these last days. Things are going to change drastically. Like when Jesus rose from the dead, one and done, book of Hebrews, we do not need another sacrifice, one and done. Everything's changed, and that's what he's saying right now. In these last days, like right now, he's telling you how everything's going to change. And then Peter walks them through who Jesus is, and he doesn't let them off the hook. He's like, listen, this Jesus, I'm in verse 22 right now-ish. I'm going to go through a bunch of things right now. He's like, this Jesus, this man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst as yourself. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Okay, he's telling them, Jesus, everything that happened to Jesus, it wasn't plan B. It wasn't like, an accident. He's like, this is a definite plan foreknown by God. And then he throws it at him. You crucified and killed him. He's basically saying, at the hands of lawless men. He's telling them, you guys, this was up to you. Everybody here, you killed him and you let the Romans do it. You let pagans do it. And then the gospel. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death. And then he goes to David. There's a reason he went to David. David was king, mighty King David. And they knew that the Messiah had to come from the line of David. So then he goes through David. And he talks about, he goes to the Lord always. I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. He goes through this, through Psalm 16, and he talks about where Jesus is right now. He talks about like how he's holy. He was not set to see corruption, meaning that he's alive today. And as he keeps on going, he talks about how in later on in verse 34, he talks about where he is by saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. So what he's saying is, God said to Jesus, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Where Jesus is right now, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father since the ascension. Since he went up to heaven, he's been there right now, and he's pleading our case. So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he's overcome. He's telling everybody, and people are convicted. And you see that later on in verse 37. They say to him, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter says, this is the gospel, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we need to do. We need to repent. Okay. Does baptism save you? No. But what happens? What happened last week during the baptism? Proclamation of your Lord, of Jesus being your Lord and Savior. That was like the resounding thing that happened last week. Everybody that got baptized, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Paul said it beautifully when he came up here. He was like, today I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And then he got in the water. So I'm telling you right now, if you haven't been baptized, it's not a necessity, but it's a commandment from God. We should definitely be baptized. Okay. So here's the crazy thing that happened. Verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and those who were added that day were about 3,000 souls. So 3,000 people got baptized. We had, 11 last week? Could you imagine 3,000? We'd still be here today dunking people. That water would be so gross. But here's the thing. Remember when I said at the beginning, dates mean something. They were there for a reason. Pentecost. They were celebrating the harvest, and they were celebrating the day that Moses brought the law down. Okay. In Exodus 32:28. Here's what happened. I'm going to highlight it for you. You guys know this story very well. Moses is up on the mountain. He comes down. What were the Israelites doing? What did they have? Golden calf, right? Moses obviously gets mad. And you're either for us or against us moment. And in that time, there were 3,000 people who were against us, who after everything, there were 3,000 people who said, nope, I'm fine with this calf. And those 3,000 people were put to death. So when the day that the law was given, death occurred. The day that the Holy Spirit came down, 3,000 people were saved, born again. And that's what happens with us. Your faith, when we look at this, we say they're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down and indwelt them. I like to use the word bind because of my mind, how I think. Like, I don't think indwelt, I know what indwelt means, but bind to me makes more sense because a binding is permanent. A binding is forever. When the Holy Spirit came down, he bound them, and he does the same thing to us, and it's instantaneous. Just as 1 Corinthians 15:52 talks about how we're going to be changed a twinkling of an eye, a blink of an eye, when the Lord returns, we will be changed. And that's the same thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes into you. You are changed instantaneously, and you're saved. It's a rebirth. It's a new birthday. It's an important thing, right? Birthdays are important. Some people have birthday weeks. Some people have birthday months. The day that you become born again is your new birthday. It's an important day. When the Holy Spirit binds you, it's permanent. I'm gonna combine some things here. John chapter 6 and 10. All that the Father gives me, this is Jesus talking, puts in my hand, I will not lose. You cannot pluck anybody that God saves out of your hands. It is permanent. God doesn't make any mistakes. He never accidentally saves somebody. And you and I, we are going to be pleasantly surprised and pleasantly shocked when we get to heaven. Because we're going to see people and we're going to be like, how in the world are they here? You know? God doesn't make mistakes. God's not like, hey, how did you get up here? It's not going to happen. He doesn't make mistakes. When the Holy Spirit binds you, it's permanent. But there's a caution here with being filled with the Holy Spirit, because being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just an emotional thing. God is serious. And when you are saved, your heart of stone turns to a heart of flesh. And we say this, we have this saying, serious is a heart attack. And we say that because your heart's a serious thing. When your heart changes, when the Holy Spirit changes you, it's serious. He's powerful and empowering. He gives you confidence. He gives you authority to share. We are called to share what God has done with us. We're called to present our testimony. That's authority from God. He gave that to us. We need to go out and we need to share that. We need to share that with our family. We need to share that with people at work. We have the power to do that. The power is given to us by the Holy Spirit. The power to His church. Being here right now is a blessing. It's a blessing from God because the Holy Spirit fills us to be here. The Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit illuminates. And the Holy Spirit got us out of bed this morning. Praise God. And got us here today. The Holy Spirit convicts us and convicts the world of sin. People that aren't saved know that they're sinning. They know it. You could say, well, they don't know any better. They do know better. The Holy Spirit convicts sinners too. They know it. The Holy Spirit is calming and He's loving because He's God. When we serve a God, a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives inside us when we're saved. And when we're hurting, and when we need Him, He's with us at all times. He's bound to us. We can't get rid of Him. When we're saved, we're His. Remember? He can't pluck us out of His hands forever. Forever. So if you're, I say this every week that I get up here, and I mean it. If you're new here or you've never been here before, you're visiting, welcome. My pastor will be here next week, and I love that guy to death. That is a Spirit-filled man who... Thursday at 5:00, he's on his way out the door, and he says to me, can I pray for you? I said, yeah. So he prays for me. He stands in my doorway, and he prays over this right now, and he prays over all you guys at the same time. And then I get to pray for him and his weekend. And that's because the Holy Spirit bound me. And it bound me to him, and him to me, and me to Brian, and me to everybody else in this room. So we are all bound together. We are family. There's a song and everything. We are family. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for every blessing that you give us, Lord. Thank you for your plan. Your plan is amazing, and we don't always understand it. You give us your word to help us, but then you come into our lives through your Holy Spirit that illuminates your word, and then it guides us. It helps us understand who you are. It helps us understand who we are. And that's a scary thing, Lord. But it's also, it's amazing because of who we are, and you still live inside us, and you still want to be us, and you still call us your children. So we thank you for that. And Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you for the season that we just went through. And my prayer is that the day that the Holy Spirit came into everybody in this room and everybody that's watching downstairs and online, we remember that day. We remember the day that we were changed instantly and forever. And we remember the day that we were placed in your hands, in the hands of your Son. And we will never, ever be plucked out. So we thank you for everything, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm all sweaty right now, and there's a Baptist joke in that, but I'm not allowed to say it anymore. So here's the words of the benediction. And this is taken from 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Have a good week.